Thank you for the introduction. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to address two main research objectives in this talk. The first objective is to quantify the effects of block size, block shape, plot size, and number of replicates on trial precision. And second objective is to quantify the effect of spatial heterogeneity on forage yield estimation. Before getting into each objective, here is a brief overview about the data structure. This data is from the Department of Agriculture, Food and Marine, abbreviated as a DAFM, National List and Recommended List, forage trials in Ireland. These trials were evaluated across the 5 locations in Ireland, and sowing years ranges from 2001 to 2011, and harvesting years from 2003 to 2012. And there were 142 trials evaluated by DAFM, and number of harvests ranges from 2 years to 1 year. 119 trials were harvested for 2 years, and 23 trials were harvested for 1 year. Species included in these trials were Italian ryegrass, perennial ryegrass, and hybrid ryegrass trials. And all these trials were designed using randomized complete block design. A number of replicates ranges from 3 to 4. Only 10 trials has 3 replicates. And number of cultivars per trial ranges from 6 to 33. And plot size is 11.41 meter square for all the trials. And all these trials were designed with 3-row blocks, and block size, trial size depend on the number of columns. As we see here, this on the left side, this is 6 cultivars per block trial, and this is the 33 cultivars per block. As we see, the number of columns here is 2, here it is 11, and the 6 cultivars are long and narrow blocks compared to 33 cultivars per block. With that brief overview, here is my first objective. A brief overview about the model that I use. This is a linear mixed model. I consider cultivar and ear as a fixed effects, block, block by cultivar, block by ear as a random effects. This is identical to split plot in time model, which assumes constant correlation between the harvest years for blocks and for plots. So to determine the effectiveness of blocking, we use two indexes. One is called intra-block correlation, and second one is heterogeneity index. Intra-block correlation is simply the variance between the blocks to variance within the blocks, whereas heterogeneity index was initially proposed by Smith in 1938, and Lynn and Binns from Canada, they approximated Smith heterogeneity index using intra-block correlation. So these two indexes are interdependent. As we see, with increasing the intra-block correlation, heterogeneity indexes decreases, and the strength of this response depends on the block size. Based on some calculations by Lynn and Binns and some empirical evaluations, these are some generalizations they made. Increasing replicates is most effective when blocks are homogeneous, and increasing plot size is most effective when blocks are heterogeneous. We also use uniformity trials approach to determine the effect of size and shape. Uniformity trials are simply trials with a uniform treatment. So the assumption is that the response from that uniformity trial captures the intrinsic field heterogeneity, and residuals after accounting for all treatment effects in the designed experiments can be considered as uniformity trials. So for example, if you want to determine the effect of block shape for 3-row blocks versus 2-row blocks, we can account for all the treatment effects in the original design, and we can superimpose the block shape, in this case for the 18 plots, with the 2 rows and 3 rows. We could compare the residual variance for these two designs to determine the best design for a given trial. So with that, here is the results. This is the frequency distribution of these two indexes. As you see, these two indexes are skewed towards the extreme values, indicating that inefficiency of blocking for majority of the trial. And this is the mean heterogeneity index response on the y-axis, and number of cultivars per block on the x-axis. With increasing number of cultivars per block, heterogeneity index is decreasing. This is, in general, is not expected, but there is another factor that contributing for this trend, that is the block shape. Here, the blocks are narrow. Here, and compared to here, the blocks are wide. So we use the uniformity trial approach to determine that effect. and the block size and shape is confounding in the original design. So we created square and rectangular blocks. For square blocks, we used a width to length ratio as 0.75 to 1.25. And for rectangular blocks, we used 0 to 0.5. And here are the results. On the y-axis, so relative efficiency. On the x-axis, it's the block size. The dark symbols represent the square blocks, and the open symbols represent the rectangular blocks. You see, with increasing the block size, the relative efficiency is decreasing as expected. The range of relative efficiency is much narrower in the square blocks as compared to the rectangular blocks. And within the square and rectangular blocks, two-row blocks have much higher relative efficiency compared to three-row blocks. So this results indicates that block shape is important when we design the trials for a range of block sizes. And this is the empirical least significance difference calculated as a percentage of mean on the y-axis and number of replicates on the x-axis. With increasing the number of replicates, LSD is decreasing, but which is sensitive to the block shape. Wide blocks showed a significant, almost linear response with the number of replicates compared to the narrow blocks. And this is a plot size response. We increase the plot size. We double the original plot size, 11.41 meter squares, to based on by rows or by columns. With increasing the plot size, residual variance increases for three block sizes. And this is mainly because as we use the large plots, the block sizes also increases, and which creates the more heterogeneous blocks. So this is the summary from the first objective. Block shape is important, especially for the small blocks. Square blocks are relatively more efficient than rectangular blocks, and LSD response to number of replicates was sensitive to block shape, and incomplete block design with reduced plot size are necessary for improving the precision for DFM trials. Move on to second objective. So in general, blocking is effective when we know the heterogeneity. When we know the heterogeneity, for example, slope or fatality trend. This is an example. If you know the heterogeneity index in this way, we can block that easily in the field conditions. But in most of the field cases, we can end up with the small homogeneous patches as compared to this large-scale spatial trend. As Tobler's first law of geography says, everything is similar to everything else, but near things are more related than distant things. So in order to get the precise estimates from the experimental design, we need to account for that spatial dependency. And there are different methods to account for that spatial dependency. Today I'm going to present the methods based on semivariogram. So this is the typical semivariogram plot. Semivariogram is most commonly used in geospatial statistics to represent the spatial variation. On the x-axis, it's the distance, which is plot-to-plot distance. On the y-axis, it's the semivariogram. It's a variance calculated based on the distance. As you see, with increasing the distance, semivariance increases, and it reaches to the plateau. And this value is called the range, the distance. And the assumption is that within the plots within the range are correlated, and above that range is called are uncorrelated. And there are different models to account for this spatial dependency. And the SIL is the maximum, the distance at which the variance is maximum is called SIL, and the range is the distance value where the spatial dependency get plateau. I use six models with and without Nugget effect, and I compare with using AIC value, and I get the best spatial model. Then I compare with randomized complete block design using a log likelihood ratio test. And these are the percentage of model that consider as the best among all the trials. As you see, autoregressive model, the both direction is considered as the best with the 29% of the time. If you look at all the spatial models, 75% of spatial models have a Nugget effect, which indicating that most of the spatial heterogeneity is in a fine scale. This is the pooled standard errors. On the left, it's a frequency distribution of the pooled standard errors. for the best spatial model to the randomized complete and randomized complete block design. As we see, the spatial models have the least pool standard errors. And this is on the relative efficiency scale. The mean relative efficiency is almost 165% for the spatial models. These are the estimates ranking, cultivar yield estimates ranking. On the x-axis is the randomized complete block design. On the y-axis is the best spatial model yield estimates. As we see, if we ignore the spatial modeling, we might end up with making some false positive decision or false negative decision in the block size of 30 or in the block size of 33 case. I use the greater than 15% of the mean as a cutoff value in both cases. And this is the summary from the second objective. Adjusting yield estimates for spatial dependency is important. Spatial models increases the precision of yield comparisons and also increases the power, which is the probability of detecting the true difference. In this case, if we don't consider the spatial model, we might end up with having less power because we are not going to detect the true difference. And 75% of the spatial models support the fine scale variation. Failure to account for spatial dependency can result in erroneous conclusions. And contrary to our typical expectations, large plots had a fine scale variation which were not effectively controlled by the randomized complete block design. With that, I would like to thank you, Walsh Fellowship Program, for financial support. And I would like to thank you, my advisor, Mike Kessler, and Patrick Conaghan and Dermot Grogan from Ireland for their support with our data structure. And I would like to take questions.
Great question.
Yes.
Could you describe how you actually made the measurements? If it's a yield measurement where it embraces a certain land area as opposed to, say, a specific point measurement that might have higher fine scale variation?
These measurements are based on plot based. So the question is how the yield is measured in the field. Is that the question? Yeah, so the question, the answer is that these are evaluated on the plot basis. So this is the plot. So they harvested this entire plot. So I consider this plot as a spatial point. Well, I think it depends on the trait that we are looking at. If the, for example, photosynthesis, we may or may not detect that much variation as compared to the forage yield. So I guess it all depends on the how the trait responds to for a given environment for a spatial variability. What is the origin of the variation? Well, I don't have the information about the soil texture or soil-based characteristics, but that's a good question. I need to find that out. Thanks.
Let's thank our speaker.